press service, such a nice sweet presence in the building. It just seems every heart is extended up to enter the communion with the Lord Jesus. When we feel His presence coming close to us, as He has been in these last weeks and months, just looking for that place to come right in. As we begin to draw near unto Him and open up our hearts in all the areas and all the places in which He has been speaking to us, the things He has been emphasizing to us, the things that He has been showing us and leading our faith into to believe and get a hold of. All these things, we want to gather them up tonight and come with it upon our hearts as we approach Him, knowing that prayer, our prayer comes out of the word, the inspiration, the things that God has been dealing with us upon, these places we've been talking to us, that we get a chance to talk back to Him now and, you know, just fellowship with Him around these things, open up our hearts, let the Holy Spirit have the opportunity to come down and make it effective, and things that He has shown us that we can put aside and lay aside and see it go in the blood and be broken up, never to see it no more. Places where the enemy might have had a chain upon our lives, where God can loose these chains, break its hold upon us, its power and its influence, turn us loose, that we can be free, we can stand in the liberty in which You have made us free, that we can see places that was clogged up, being cleaned up, and more of the Spirit coming in these places. We feel the strength coming in, being empowered and strengthened. This is what we want to experience. We're going to be so, focused tonight by God's grace, coming with Him in the meditation of our hearts, His word and these things He have spoken to us. We don't want to come in a blank mind. We don't want to come fishing around like what to say to the Lord, and we don't know what to do, and we have to try to make up something to say to Him. And we just want to come to Him where the word is anointed inside of us, where our life have been in meditation, in fellowship, even our own personal prayer life, where we get before Him and we talk it over with Him. We just pray that You just move in such a way tonight and just fill our cup, Lord. We lift it up. Come and quench the thirst of our soul. Let's just sing that bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. Lift it up tonight. Elisha asked for empty vessels. He says, go get empty vessels. Bring them into your house. When your house is filled with empty vessels, then shut your door behind you. And take that oil that you have and begin to pour it in those empty vessels. What a great thing that was. God did such a work, brought such a deliverance, wrought such a great freedom for that woman and her family. May do the same for this church, this woman here, and her family, her sons and daughters that born from her womb, born by the incorruptible seed, that we can enter into a place where there's no more captivity. No one say that I'm bound with this and I'm retarded here, I'm hindered here, I'm struggling here. I feel paralyzed, I don't feel the liberty. But where everyone can say, thank God I am free. I am free, amen. That's the place we want to enter into by the grace of God. Amen, that's what He wants to give for us. To give to each and every one of us. Let's just open up our hearts, sing this, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Fill my cup, Lord. Yes, Jesus. I lift it up, Lord. Hallelujah. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
can raise every heart now to Him tonight. Yes, my cup, Lord, I lift it up tonight. I lift it up, Lord. Oh God, come and quench this thirsting, this longing that is deep within my soul tonight. This cry for more of Jesus Christ, more of the Holy Spirit. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Yes, my cup, Lord. Yes, my cup, fill it up. Make me whole. Here's our cup, Father. Empty. Turn right side up tonight. To you who has what it takes to fill it, that in filling it can bring that deep satisfaction to each and every one of us on the inside of the inside. Where there is no more restlessness, no more being tossed to and fro, no more wandering stars, but Lord, stars setting their courses, yielded and surrendered in harmony with you, ready, willing, available, Lord, to your service, to your divine leadership. All you desire, Lord God, you can accomplish in and through us. Lord God, you'll find no resistance, no retaliation, but such a ready response in the positive, Lord, to all that your will is. Bless each and every one tonight. Move in a special way in every heart, Father. We acknowledge that you're a God so big and so great. You can deal with each and every one of us from the greatest to the least, individually as well as you can deal with us collectively right here in your presence. Even them who are not here, you can take under divine consideration this very moment, as though it were all of us under this roof, because we are all under the umbrella of your grace. So whether those who might behold their God, their heart here tuned in, linked up, pour out your blessing upon us. You know the desire deep down in our souls that is to stand for you, to serve you, to cooperate with you, Lord, to see every bit of the world obliterated from our lives, to see your great strength and power come and saturate us, we might be strengthened with might and power in the inner man, where we can truly stand in the way that you desire us to stand and represent you in this hour. Have your own blessed way, Father. We thank you tonight for your presence, for every precious brother and every precious sister, your precious children, dear God, the purchase of your blood. Lord, this little assembly that you have here, I love you and love this message that you have sent. Some writer says, looking above, filled with your goodness, lost in your love, watching and waiting, Father, knowing that this is the hour, Lord, when that trumpet will sound. We know it's not many days from now, and all that is to be done, how we desire to be in conditions ready, O God, prepared. We can move at the nudge of your Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord. Lead and direct us tonight in our thanksgiving, in our praise, in our prayer, in our exaltations of thee, in our honoring of thee, in our worship unto thee, Father. Lord, you be the center of our worship, and you be the center of every heart. You be the focus upon every of every mind here tonight. You be the one that fill every thoughts. Hallelujah. Oh God, Father, you can just overshadow this place with your great August presence. Let the sick be healed. Let the weak be strengthened tonight. Let everyone, oh God, Father, let the weeks as it will be dipped in the oil. And let the fire of God burn intensely and deeply within their souls, dear God. Let the breeze of the Holy Spirit, Lord, fan that flame, dear God. May you grant it, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. We glorify you tonight. We worship you, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us read a little portion of scripture tonight. Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm reading that just in mind with what we were looking at in Proverbs 25:20, where it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so we are designed to see that rule, the word ruling, in other words, God in the control tower, controlling your spirit, controlling your life, controlling you to the word, God anchored in your soul, in that great tie post, tie you to the word. No matter you sail through life's treacherous waters, you sail life's solemn main, your compass is pointing toward the North Star, your anchor holds to the Rock of Ages. Blessed be his wonderful name. A life that is a Christ-centered life. That's what we are designed. That's what we need. The Holy Spirit is thirst to the word. When we speak as an oracle of God. Our thoughts are filled with God. When we move by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not by desire, not by ambition, not by human will, not by human influence, but prisoners led by the Spirit. Amen. Glory. Where God walks in us, moves in us. That's his church in this hour. Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up. And Eliashib means God restores. The first one who is being spoken, starting from the high priest and starting from the sheep gate, God restores. What a place for the work to go forward. The first one to be restored is the word, the atonement, the sacrifice. Amen. They began at the sheep gate. God restores. What a place. Rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors to it. Even unto the tower of Hamea, they sanctified it. And the tower of Hanamel, you set up your doors tonight, sanctify it. Sanctify it with prayer. Get down your purpose in your heart. Amen. Them gates will be holy gates for the Holy Spirit to move through them gates into your life. Amen. Blessing you, anointing you. Glory. And next unto him, the men of Jericho built. Isn't that something? Jericho was the lowest city there was. Lowest place on the earth, Jericho. Where even the shortest man was looking down upon Jesus when he passed through Jericho. And the thing is that the high priest so high and the men from Jericho so low. Working next, by the way, of higher state or lower state. You believe all scripture is given by inspiration? Exactly right. It's the thoughts of God expressed. Isn't that just a man just recording? Let me record this. Oh, I forget to record this. No, it's God's thoughts expressed to reveal Jesus Christ. And next unto him, the men of Jericho built, and next unto them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. From the sheep gate, they went to the fish gate. And the fish gate did the sons of Hasina build, who also laid its beams and set up its doors, its locks, and its bars. So this man could build part of the wall, but he could also set up locks and doors and bars. I like that. He don't just put up a little fortification to get a minister some security. He could strengthen and fortify you. Amen. He had all that locked up in him. He knew about locks and doors and setting it up and swinging it right. Amen. And next unto them, Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Hakoz, repaired. And next unto them, repaired Meshulam. Amen. The son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezebel. You know, sometimes you think the Holy Spirit don't have to put the man father and grandfather name. But there's a reason for that. Because, you see, the man have something from his father and he have something from his grandfather in him. That's why it's put there. That's why it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why it's Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost is all in the grain. All the life is gathered in the grain. The man who's adopted was both justified, sanctified, and had the new birth before he could come to adoption too. You get me? Amen. So all of the names is put, and I told you the names have meanings. It's beautiful how it's laid out. And just think, you are one of those inside of there. You have to be. You have to be. If you are part of the word for this age, you are part of these people who fulfill the word of God. Find your place tonight. When you go to pray, your life could be zeroed. And next unto them, Zadok, the son of Baana, repaired. Notice some built, some repaired. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Have some people that are just so up. They like to stand off from afar and look. They prefer a spectating position than a participating position. You don't want to be like them. It's written for their shame. The greatest thing that they could have been involved in was the work of the Lord in that hour. But they refused to get involved. They chose to spectate and stand afar off and watch. You don't want to be that tonight. Put them somewhere in the next church, not this one. Moreover, the old gate repaired Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besudiah. They laid its beams, and they set up its doors, and its locks, and its bars. And next unto them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, and Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, as far as the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Everybody's place wasn't an exact portion at all. Some found greater measure of responsibility that they had to commit themselves to. Some had a lesser portion of work. So it wasn't like watch one another. But they were all to be involved together. That's why I say, and next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them. And next unto them, Uziel, the son of Hahiah, of the goldsmiths, repaired. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the perfumers, the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Goldsmiths, perfumers, working together, men of different natures, men of different kind of work, have to work side by side. You know, sometimes people like to choose to go out with their friends. They only could get along with their friends. Or who they consider the close acquaintance. Such a person cannot represent Jesus Christ fully. Because a Christian must be all things to all men. And when you look at these people, they work side by side for one common cause, regardless of what their profession, regardless of what their background was, regardless of what their status was. All of this is instructive, is to teach us something right here in the church. And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, opposite his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Heshabniah. Now, if I don't call some of these names right, please forgive me. I'm sure the people forgive me themselves, who name it is. So you don't get vexed with me, it's not your name, in that sense. But your name represented here too. Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pahat Moab, repaired the other portion and the tower of the furnaces. Some man had to climb real high in some places to work. Some man had to walk going down a hill. Some man had to walk going up a hill. Because the cities are flat. If you know Jerusalem, it's up in the mountains. So the walls of the city go up and down all around the city. And then the city had towers, had furnaces in the walls, all these things. Had towers where the watchmen used to be. Had places where the elders would be. Had places in the fish gate where people set up the markets. See, it was a great city. And when all this has been repaired, notice sometimes a man may have to get in a real high place, difficult situation, where it's dangerous. But that's where his portion of work falls. And he don't shirk it. Because they know that they are doing the will of God. They are fulfilling the will of God. And next of them repaired Shalom, the son of Halohish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Man even get his daughter yet. Man have no sons. He get his daughters. Daughters get involved too. Them sisters come out, but they're cooking, they're sweeping, they're picking up things, they're passing material. They're right there too. They don't use their femininity for an excuse that they can't get involved in the work. They get involved in the work. Because Jerusalem to them was not just some little place that they go now and again for a feast. I trust that in going through this tonight, as we go into prayer, this will help create a greater love for the work here, what we call Abel Country. This place that we come to. The same way it has a spiritual significance, that Jerusalem represents the bride, what the bride will mean to you, but also what the place where you come up to worship and meet with other believers and praise God, even that place will have a special affection to in your heart. The valley gate repaired. Anon, you see, this gate was down in the valley now, from the fish gate to the old gate, now to the valley gate. And the inhabitants of Zanoah, they built it. And they set up its doors, its locks and bars. And 1,000 cubits in the wall unto the dung gate. And the dung gate repaired Malchijah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the district of Beth-Hakirim. He built it and set up its doors and its locks and its bars. And from the valley gate, they went to the dung gate. And from the dung gate, they went to the fountain gate. And the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kolhoza, the ruler of the district of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up its doors, its locks and its bars. And the wall of the pool of Shelah by the king's garden under the stairs that descend from the city of David. Now, while we're reading this, remember Revelation 22, the 12 foundations was 12 men. The 12 gates was 12 men. The 144,000 cubits represented men. Remember, it was a people. So when you hear that they rebuild this part of the gate and they set it up and they put the locks and the bars and they secure it, there's a man strengthening someone that's part of the city. You have to do it, the fortification of the city. That is fortifying the body of believers. Jerusalem is what? The Lamb's wife, the bride. It's all in mystery. It's all in shadow and type here. It takes special people. Sometimes you have to work together with someone. But you might be of a high profession. Next one might be a low profession. One might be educated. But there are two people working together to redeem, to strengthen, to fortify one who might be ruined. Redeeming them out of the rubbish. Getting them reestablished. Getting them fortified. And did you notice, even though it looked like little duties, little measures of work, yet the Holy Spirit is describing it. The Holy Spirit is not leaving it out. The Holy Spirit said, they repair the locks. You know, sometimes a man lock, not L-U-C-K, but you know, sometimes a man lock where he might be insecure, and that becomes the place where he backslides. Woman full of fear and insecurity, she needs security. She needs to be made secure. How do you secure your house? You key and you lock your key and you close your window and you latch your window and you have your burglar proof. What do? You secure your house. You fortify it. Why? Because you know you leave it there, it makes it easy for thieves to come in, and you do that not to lock yourself in, to keep the thieves out. So you could, nothing from outside will disrupt your atmosphere in your house. Well, think of this city and think of this house. When you have things come in your mind, you know people backslide, say, I'm going crazy, you have a mind battle, you know, there's so much pressure on that, you know, God will love me now. You ever hear people come into that? And I say, man, get next to yourself, God will love you what? It's sympathy you're looking for. And shake that thing, why? Sometimes you have to hold them there and sit down there with them hours in the world just to fix that lock. But when you get the lock working, you see a big smile on the face, their hand coming there, they sort of praise God. They were so down in the dumps. And you repair the locks and the bars and the gates and you set up strong. And they go for years undisturbed. Until you see now they know how to help somebody come into security and peace too. Remember, the Holy Spirit is for what? Eternal security, that's what it is. Is that right? Exactly. And that's why the Spirit, from verse to verse, from gate to gate, from wall to wall, the Spirit is specific, describing minutely every work. You know why? Every individual here is important to God. This one have a complex. This one have fear. This one have doubt. This one introvert. See? This one think nobody like them. This one, but so sensitive to criticism, they get in their shell and don't talk to nobody afterwards. This one here, radical. This one here, easily influenced. This one here, under a little pressure, but it's not a compromise. Those lives need what? Repairing, fortifying, strengthening. Sometimes they don't need to know all about cherubim in heaven and what the difference between cherubim and seraphim and the millennium, what's going to happen. Sometimes they don't need to know what. They just need to get them places strengthened, fortified. And you see them holding their position in the world, being a blessing. Well, this is what it is here. This is what it is. Look at verse 16. After him. Notice, next to him. After him. Opposite. See? His house. After him repaired Nehemiah. And this is a different Nehemiah. The son of Azbuk, the ruler of half part of Bethzer, unto the place opposite the sepulchres of David. This man get the sepulchres of David. You could imagine if nobody could identify David's sepulchre. Could you imagine? The king who discovered the city, the man after God had, the man God made the covenant with, whose son was going to be God himself in the flesh. I went to Jerusalem, I saw the sepulchre of David that they have there. That was David's sepulchre. But the Jews, the greatest person, one of the greatest person in the whole Jewish faith is religion, is David, King David. You go to the city of King David. And that man, brother, he had to make sure this historical thing be kept, be clear to the people. Anybody come to Jerusalem could see it and understand, this is our king. David, this is his tomb here with us. This is the man where he's buried. This is this is something significant in this nation. It can't die like train that. How they always have Doctorate Williams. They always told the father of the nation, so and so. And they try to preserve that. All the books, all the different things. They put up a whole memorial, a whole library and everything. They come, big, big function. They keep that. Why? It's part of the history. You lose that. You lose the history of the country. That your man said, Master, they don't break the colonial yoke. Set the people free. See? Well, think of it. Think of David. And the pool that was made when Sennacherib was going to take the city. Hezekiah. That is a big, big thing in Israel today. Men cut through solid rock coming from both sides, cutting through the mountain until they meet in the middle. A whole tunnel they cut through solid mountain to bring water in the city so the people fortified in the city, protected, could survive. The pool that was made and unto the house of the mighty men, all the mighty men of Israel. In the Old Testament, you hear, and they're buried in the sepulchres in Jerusalem, and they're buried in the city of David, and they're buried there in the sepulchres, right? This man was to repair these places. You ever see people who understand the history of the church? Sometimes people walk in here, and they look at certain people, and they can't even respect them. Yet the church is standing here because some of those people. The things that they look around and admire and bless about. Some of those people sweat, toil, labor, sacrifice, forsake wife, children, day and night to see this place rise, to see what it is. Stand here. Think of it. Men who know the days. Brother, when it was gazette paper and plank of wood onto brick that pan pulpit. Some people walk in the city, walk today like it is, and they think it starts like this. You have men who preserve the history of the thing. This man, that was his job. That's the portion he get. After him, the Levites repaired Rehum, the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Kyla for his district. His own district he was working. After him repaired their brethren, Bavi, the son of Hinadad, the ruler of the half part of Kyla. The next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another portion opposite the ascent of the Amri at the turning of the wall. Man get a part where the wall turn a corner. You take a stone mason to turn that corner. Man will repair that part of the wall. That man means he have to join the two walls together. You have to be able to bring people at variance together into unity and hold them together strong. Sometimes you feel God gave that kind of gift. You have a way with people. You have a way that you always feel when you see people at variance, it brings a hurt in your heart. You don't have to see that from the church. And next person noticing, hey, the pale place needs some paint. And next person noticing, you know, the light's too dim. And next person noticing something else. Some of you notice something else. Oh, look. Why do you have to argue like that? Why? Because God make you up so for your part, for your ministry, to make you sensitive, to recognize and observe these things. After church, you want to go outside and talk to a person, encourage him, and notice that he wasn't so happy today. What's the matter, you know? Well, you're happy coming to church. See? You know, get involved. Get, you know, if you don't like where you sit on Acts, sit on somewhere else. You don't understand, you know, sitting please, and you put you down there, and you're staying there, nearly down there, no. You figure you better on this side, ask to go on this side. See? People sensitive to other people. This man, he got the turning of the wall. Verse 20, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabba, earnestly repaired. All them here repaired, earnestly repaired. You know why? Sometimes you have to work in an awkward place. Sometimes the work you're doing, it's so difficult to work. You almost crouch up in a corner, your back hurting you, you have to come out and stretch every 2 minutes for the place, you get to fix it. Awkward. Everything is convenient. Sometimes you get into an area, but some awkward problems. Sensitive. It takes certain people who have patience to go in there and deal with that. It takes people who can tarry long and willing to go hours to get somebody out. Somebody had to listen to a person, they talk, they tell the whole life story for 2 hours, And you have to sit and listen to bed, making them feel good. They're unwinding, they're unburdening themselves. See? So then you can start to help them now. You can start to talk to them now. Earnestly repent. From the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest, after him repaired Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Hakos, another portion from the door of the house of Eliashib, even to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After them, Benjamin and Hashu repaired opposite their house. After them repaired Azariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, beside his house, opposite their house, beside his house, for his district. Watch. After him repaired Bilnui, the son of Hindad, another portion from the house of Azariah, unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Palal, the son of Uzziah, repaired opposite the turning of the wall, and the projecting tower from the king's upper house that was by the court of the guard. After him, Pedadah, the son of Parosh, repaired. After the Netanim dwelt in Ophel, unto the place opposite the water gate. Now they reach at the water gate toward the east and the projecting tower. After them, the Tekoites repaired another portion. They had finished the first portion in verse 5. Now hear them in verse 27, do another portion opposite the great projecting tower, even to the wall Ophel, from above the horse gate. Now they reach the horse gate. Repair the priest, everyone opposite his own house. Notice that every man was working in a vicinity close to him. In other words, God is dealing with every man in their own environment. That's where a man can work best. And God knows that. Because where a man lives, that's where he was working. You get that? A bird is made for the air. Where you live, your position, your dwelling place, that is predestined by God. And there is where you work. Like a man lives in a preaching place, a man live in a song leading place, a man live in a deacon place, a man live in, he have to repair the air. You get me? You get a man who ain't living here to come and try to repair here. He might break it down. See? So each man was working in the environment, the immediate environment. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone opposite his own house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Imah opposite his house. After him appeared Shema, the keeper of the east gate. After him appeared Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zelaph, another portion. They even mentioned he's the sixth son. After him appeared Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, opposite his chamber. In verse 4, this man had a portion. He finished. No, he did another portion. After him appeared Malchijah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Netanim. And they didn't know with the Gibeonites, but Joshua had made a league with them, and they were bond servants of the children of Israel always. And of the merchants opposite the gate, Hamifkad, which means command. That's where many times the military assembly and military and so on. And to the ascent of the corner, and between the ascent of the corner unto the sheep gate, the goldsmith and the merchants repaired. So verse 32, they ended back up where they started in verse 1, at the sheep gate. They made the whole circuit from gate to gate to gate until it was completed. May I have a seat? So the work began at the sheep gate, then it went to the fish gate, then it went to the old gate, then it went to the valley gate, then it went to the dung gate, then it went to the gate of the fountain, then to the water gate, then to the horse gate, then to the east gate, then to the gate Hamifkar, and it ended back up at the sheep gate. And the Holy Spirit named all these gates because it is important, and God saw it as important so that this gate could be built. Now I was telling you how those names, like Eliashib mean God restores. Zachary, the son of Imri, mean mindful and strength. People who is mindful of what is happening. People who have strength that they can use. They're not just mindful, but strong too. That they can exert their influence. They can use up the strength and the power. Like God told Peter, after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Out of your faith, give virtue and strengthen those around you. temperance to bear with them, not easily provoked, doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love suffered long, thinketh no evil. See? Sometimes you could help somebody and they, give me a chance, man, leave me alone. You could help me at all. And if you don't really have love, that is going to turn you off right away. Next you're going to condemn the person, next you're going to fight back, and sort of debate, and look at you, I come to help you, and next thing you get in a condemning atmosphere. Not realizing sometimes when a man lost, and that fever goes to his head, he wants them to bite and devour the very one who's coming to help him. Prophets and the maniac coming, man, I'll lick you off the platform. You see, look at the poor man. It's just the devil. Have the man so bound. And that man has a family just like me. Want to sit with them, want to go out to them. And he can look beyond all the threats. And he can see how bound the man is. And see that if he don't look at the thing right, he could not offer no assistance to the man. The man will remain in the same condition. He might end up in a broken jaw. But the thing is, what an awkward place though. All the preachers take off. The platform is clean in no time. But he stood there, bothered to do the work. Think of it. Sometimes you have to work in an awkward position. To fortify Jerusalem isn't an easy thing. It's not just a talking boy. These are inspiration, boy. I tell you, these are all about Jerusalem rising, yes? You see, I tell you, just they offer the third Poland, you know, all this kind of excitement business. This is our sometimes, you next to the perfumer, you'll have a nice, sweet atmosphere. Next to the goldsmith, brother, he know about the refiner's fire and the purge and the iron pyrite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Brother, these people, where they was, the very skill, the very work, where they had to work to fortify and build a wall. Look at Jesus when he was repairing. You know, he was like Nehemiah, I mean comfort. You know, Jesus is the comforter. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. Jehovah comforts. And when, look how he had to stand up there between Peter and John and them. Who when they're trying to argue, who be the greatest, who will be this. When Peter on the backslide, say, I pray for you, Satan will see for like wheat. See, what he's doing? That was his wall. He was building his wall. All them were stones in the wall. He was telling them, he's saying, in the regeneration, the 12 of you will be sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He was looking there and seeing that brother, here he was, come to redeem them stones. Look where them stones was. But them stones will be part of this great vision of Jerusalem. That's why it's taking this hour. To see a brother and sister. Sometimes look at a stone like that, no word. But it depends on you know the word of the stone in relation to the position the stone is to occupy and the purpose the stone is to serve. You know the value and the place where the work is being done, the need for that kind of stone. You get me? It had decorative stone. You go and build a building or a wall. You think you go and put, for your foundation, you go and put hollow clay block? They have block where you call foundation block. How many know that? You see, sometimes you see a personal coarse and hard. You say, me like him, he'll do rough for me, yes? He'll do rough for you. He just hold up that whole wall is the way he does here. You make him soft like some little piece of slate. You know, you've got a place in a little stone work on a wall. They don't build a wall with brick already, but they just take a decorative stone now and they stick it on like cosmetic to give the wall, like you take a little tile. Tile off a place afterwards. Well, that's just to beautify the thing. That's not the strength of the wall. That's just to beautify the wall. It's cosmetic. But the strength of the wall is the nature, the type of stone you build the wall with. You see, but if you're not thinking architect thoughts, God is a divine architect. And God knows his church had to go through pressure. And God knows the devil will come with mighty rushing winds and floods.
to beat vehemently in the house, but you have to build it upon a certain foundation. The wise man built his house on the rock, so he could stand the test of time. And God, no, he ain't building a Christian to wear a nice tie and go to church and take out his picture after service and smelling sweet and the Bible shining and, you know, you sit across your leg and you fix your hand, you know. God, no, he's building a Christian to pack the word, to face demon power, to stand against sin, to give a witness to the generation is what he raised a Christian for. God is not building a church service Christian. God built a Christian to go into battle against the forces of darkness. Prophecy say, rugged men with rugged faith up in the battlefront making converts of Christ. He said not these sissify people there, you know, but they're not burning the first criticism they get. They're done with Christianity, they're backsliding, they ain't going back to church. He said, be burly. Don't let the scandal of man shake you. Be rugged. Abraham had rugged faith. Amen. I think that's good. In the wall. Your wall is fortification. You ever seen long ago when war come, man come with batting around? Because the enemy to get in the city, they start at the gate. And then batting around, they battle the gate and battle the gate. Man can catapult and put big iron ball and they slam it against the wall. And the wall stand up, sir. Take that thing. You know what? And the people inside, they know that the wall is strong, they smile. Because them men standing along that city is taking the attack of the devil out there, and that's why they enjoy in peace. Let the men crumble and see what happens inside the city. You get what I'm saying? Sure, let the men crumble and see what happens inside the city. And that's why, when you look and see, God in building it, build people for positions. He designed them. You're calling your election. That's why I say election. Election means choosing. It means out of many. He look. Nah, this can't work. This too soft. I have to use my decorative stone. This one here, I have to use my foundation stone. This will carry the weight of the building. I have to use that corner block. You ever do that corner block different on a straight? But here, two sides. Sure. He built to turn the corner and join the two things together. You ever see a man with that kind of personality? But he's always a happy good. He's blessed with the peacemaker. He's an intercessor. He just stand the gap between two parties. He just hold them together and bring reconciliation. Amen. But they are wrong him. He can never know the vision. He can make the people who have the most opposite personality, he can keep them in harmony. We need a few people like that. They are the other kind of people. Boy, every time they hear this, they run. They tell this one. The story changed. They tell that one the story changed a second time. They tell this one the story changed a third time. They tell that one the story changed a fourth time. By the time you hear the story, this person was pretty well slandered. You get what I'm saying? There is set as a strife. They just put people at variance. They just create contention. When you have them kind of people, you better have all the other people on the other side who can begin to repair them breaches and bring it back. That is why in a church you have to know your people. That's why a shepherd has to know every sheep. You get what I'm saying? That's why a captain in an army has to know every soldier. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I'm just trying to throw some light on it for you. So your mind could conceive what we're talking about. And then you in your Christian life can go a little deeper to understand the purpose you are called to serve as a Christian. When you say, by serving God, yes. Don't just limit that to, I just go to church and sing hymns and listen to preachers and go home. That's a different thing. Anybody can do that. Serving God is serving God's purpose. God have a purpose. And you are called according to the purpose. And that purpose, but you shape and God design you to take a position in this great big purpose. Is that right? I got Reuben camp in the south, Ephraim in the west, Judah in the east, Dan in the north. They all camp a certain way. They move a certain way. The tabernacle pitch a certain way. That was Jerusalem. That was the mystery of it back there. And that's what makes the church powerful. And that's why sometimes you like an odd stone. You know the Bible says the builders rejected the chief cornerstone. Well, that came from when they were building the temple the first time. They had this odd-looking stone. And the builders let them see it. Well, it looked kind of funny. So they just throw it, they thought it was like an old spear stone. They just throw it away to keep building. By the time they build, they realize they build out a hole in it. And they went, how on earth? This hole ended up in the building. So they went looking now and they find a pile of weeds. And then they take it and they fit it. Bam! Perfect fit inside of there. And that is where the proverb comes. The builders reject the cornerstone. You find in Samson 18. See? And so you find out in the time now when Jesus came, he used that. Peter took it up too as a scripture, because the Sadducees and Pharisees trying to build the kingdom of God, and here the Messiah come, the one who you're supposed to build upon. And they see him as the devil, they see him as Beelzebub, they see him as a troublemaker, they see him as different things, and claiming they're builders. If he's a builder, you see the perfect stone. When Daniel saw that stone coming, but a stone cut out your hands. Amen. See? But they saw this great stone. Peter called him a living stone. Isaiah said, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. You see a man, he's a tried stone. This brother is a tried stone. This brother is a precious cornerstone. This brother is a sure foundation. You want to have a little singing group? You get a good foundation, one who can pull the rest together in harmony. Not one trying to outdo this one, compete with this one, project their own self, put down this other one, you know, stand here, put the other there. Not that, no. You can't build your, there's a plan for destruction. But anything where you have one who is willing to sacrifice for the thing, one who is willing to see the God be glorified in the thing, one who is affected with seeing how the thing ought to function if God people be blessed and assisted and God be glorified. They think of that first. Then you're getting a stone to build with. Otherwise, you're building talent in the last 2 weeks. See? Come like when women go and bake cake and these things. You say, I want a kind of yeast, you know what this kind of yeast. You say, buy that kind of butter, man, I want this kind of butter. Butter, what kind of butter, right? But they know, butter, this recipe and the texture they want and how it had to come out. They know, let me build this thing with the right materials. Let me get the right ingredients for this thing. But it's the same way. That's why a church is not just members, but it's stones cut out, individuals who is cut and willing to be cut according to the pattern to take a place. But next to, you know them stones that they hew it out to the mountains. And you know the mountains, God made the mountains. And you know, where did the earth come from? Catch this, where did the earth come from? God created heaven and earth. Well, before God created, how did God create it? He spoke it, right? And before God spoke it, where it was? In God's thoughts. Every one of them stones that come from that mountain was in God's thoughts. And then when God gave the pattern to the temple and show where the stone for that temple is, they find the right mountain, they hew it out according to the pattern and they bring it and it became the wall. When God hew you out by his word, he hew you out. Hosea says, he hewed them out by the prophets in the generation. In this generation, in your village, in your community, God hew you out by his word to do what? Come and take a place in his building. He hew you out to this generation. You are talking the party, you are talking the world, you are talking the nomination, but God hew you out at that. Why? To build his city. Because that stone was way in the thoughts of God. God expressed it and put it in place. And when God gave the pattern, God revealed where to go to get that kind of stone to build that thing. You get what I'm saying?
Because remember when they built that, not a song was heard. Everything come together. When Solomon built that temple, stone. Everything was prepared, just stone coming to stone. Think of it. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. Your life is not here by chance. There's something in the gates. Remember, he that have no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. What is the condition of your city? How much rule do you see you have over your own spirit? How disciplined your life is, in other words. How line up you are with the world. What does have a pull and an influence upon your life? Where is the places you find your spirit can't seem to be disciplined enough and line up enough with the world and submissive? How quiet your spirit is, how restless your spirit is. You'll know if you have rule over your spirit. The only thing could bring that spirit in subjection is that soul that is part of the world. The soul controls the spirit and the spirit controls the body. And if the same spirit is Christ in the dwelling, it will do what? Quicken your mortal body. When that quickening power moving that soul, it pulls that spirit subject. And you no longer become a free thinker. Your mind becomes disciplined to the word. When you speak God's thoughts. You don't give your own private interpretation, your own ideas, your own feelings. Why? Because all that comes subject. You're a thinking man filter. Your thinking is filtered now. Only God's word is coming forth. A disciplined life. Think of it. You say the right thing. You speak good about somebody. You exalt God in your speech. You don't project yourself in your speech. Your whole purpose is to edify and strengthen those around you. Discipline. That's why when you go to prayer, you know the places you're praying because you become conscious of where your spirit drifts and wanders. Like a wandering spirit. Your spirit wander into that. Your spirit wandering into fashion. Your spirit wandering into sex. Your spirit wandering into money. Your spirit wandering into worldly ambition. Your spirit wander out over here into this. Your spirit wandering into gossip. Your spirit wandering into ambition. Your spirit wander over here. And there's like no control. See? And when you see those things happen, it says this city is broken down and without walls. I said the gates to enter Jerusalem, the eye gate and the air gate, is some of the gates that have the busiest gates. Some of the most traffic just go through them gates. Sometimes you can't help see where you see it. Think passing. Think coming through the air gate, coming through the eye gate. There, video, audio. See? Nose gate, mouth gate, touch gate, taste gate, see, reasoning gate. So make a help touching. You see and you want to touch. You know, kind of long, long, long handshake. There are no guards in them touch gate. It needs some guards to say, it's a handshake, where do you get that all? Your hand examination? You feel a pulse of it. Reasoning gates. Some have no reasoning gates. The elders used to be in the gate. The judges used to be in the gate. I said, when the word, the judge, who does tell what is right from wrong, who does control what coming and what called, when the judge is in your gate, you will know. Why do people get trouble in the city? Because they have nothing in the gate to keep out what comes in the gate. The affection gate. You know what again, the affection gate? When is it inside again, the affection gate? So inside, store up all kind of affection. The problems. Imagination gate. See? Sometimes some of these gates just get clogged up with rubbish. Remember, you had no place for the beast to pass?
The gates had to get repaired. The rubbish had to clear from the gates so you could have access, so the city could begin to get some order again. God wanted to bring this life in order. God wanted to bring this life in discipline. God wanted to be the Word. The Word wants to control your seeing, control your reasoning, control your affection, control your faith. The Word wants to control all these things inside of you. Your reasoning is good. He said, come, let's reason together. As long as I agree with the Word. Your imagination is wonderful. As long as you don't become vain imaginations. And you get into daydreaming and you get into all kind of fantasy and mysticism and things outside there. See? All these things is good. And as long as these gates get judges that can discern right from wrong, good from evil, then you had the king's gate, where the king comes in. But that's the soul. That's the soul gate. Because when the king word gate, but you might hear it here, but the thing is, he ain't getting to the control place, he ain't getting to the right place where he could rule that life and control that life. And so these walls and these gates, they had to build them up. They had to strengthen them. And you notice how before he did it, he did what? He surveyed the gates. Nehemiah surveyed the gates. He went from that gate in the night and he watched. Now it's night time here and we come down here to pray. And as we enter into prayer, let's have some soul travel. Prophet said call it soul travail. He's by call it soul travel. Let that soul begin to survey this city. You know, we sing many times, when I survey the wondrous cross, see from his head, see his hands, his feet. And so as you survey the atonement from head to toe all the way coming down, now let's survey the city. Let us be enter in, let's survey the gates and see where our rubbish is clogged up. Where is the gates that is broken down? Where need repair? And as we survey here first, then let's survey here. The city here out also. Because before you could help this city, you had to help this, you had to fix this city. And then when you get there and we begin to survey here, you say, that brother there, that sister, Lord, strengthen them. You start to see the importance of certain stones. You start to see the kind of attacks in this hour and see that the wall stands between the city and the enemy. And say, Lord, those that are responsible, the security. See? Regardless of what it takes, whether tonight you are a bank manager, school teacher, mason, carpenter, laborer, whether tonight you're employed or unemployed, whether tonight you're educated or uneducated, we've all come, like the people come from Jericho, from Tekoa, they come from different places. Some of you have come from San Fernando, some of you come from San Juan, some of you come from Tunapula, some of you come from Caranage, some of you come from Digomate. See, you come from Chaguanas, you come from Cunupia. We come here tonight to work together, to build this place, to strengthen it, to fortify it. Rich and poor, brother, they work together. They had to retrieve them stones from under the rubbish. They had to close the breaches. They had to join the walls together. Some men had to earnestly repair. Some build it, others repair. They set up doors. As I said, the doors is for what? Access. Some laid beams, support ministries. Some set up the locks, security, where there's insecure people, make that life secure. See, keep the enemy out. Some prepared bars, fortifying and strengthening. That was the bars for. I remember long ago, my grandfather had a shop. But after we lock up everything, in the back, they put the big bar inside against the door. So even though the door had a lock, it had bars. See? Some closed the breaches. Sometimes you see rifts, contention and strife cause breaches in the church. The enemy have an entrance into the city,
Others, they join the walls together, establishing unity, bonds of fellowship, because they use their influence to create greater unity. They use their influence to bring people into deeper fellowship. As the song says, let there be fellowship, true fellowship, spiritual relationship. They use their influence to bring people into a deeper appreciation of what a brother is and what a sister is, of what a member of the assembly is, who journey from far to come and sacrifice their time and bring their family and stand here. You learn to appreciate that. You learn to see that. You learn to realize there's some cause, there's something behind that life wanting to come. Day after day, service after service, well, it costs some people just to come here, to stand here, to be identified with the cause. You learn to respect that and appreciate and esteem that highly. And you become encouraged by that and provoked to love by that. When you see, rather than you quickly criticize a person, you say, nah, that person has become ever something, because look how much of them has come. Look how far they have come from. Look what it has cost them to come. I who just walk in a few feet or just round the corner, am I justified to criticize? I ain't walking that person's moccasins yet. You know what I'm saying? And when you do that, you heal the breaches. You join back the walls and you cause people to come more knitted together. You can imagine when the walls begin to join and go up, when there's no way for the enemy to come, when the enemy now had been controlled and had no access into the city. Could you imagine the devil can't come into church? Could you imagine a church without the devil? Could you imagine a relationship, brother, with you and God, where, like Jesus said, Satan have no place in me? Could you imagine where the devil get frustrated and to leave you? Could you imagine a church where sin can exist among? Can you imagine where everybody's in unity and harmony? But when them bars have been laid and them locks have been set up, think of it. One man's name was Friend. With the Meshulam, Bisodiah. Meshulam is friend, Bisodiah means with the counsel of Jehovah. You think a man who is your friend and have the counsel of Jehovah could help you? You think if you see somebody whose life is weakened and he says, I want somebody to go and talk to that person, let me look and see. This person is friendly. He can befriend them and he have the counsel of God. He will know how to talk. He'll be able to instruct them and help them. And so that man was one that was building. Next man, Milatiah, son of Jadon, Jehovah delivered and thankful. Man name mean Jehovah delivered. And his next name mean thankful. When you see people thankful, when you see people experience deliverance, And they're thankful to God, like the man who, the leper who come back and was thankful, and Jesus said, where the rest? But he can teach people how to be thankful, because this is an unthankful age. People that come in church and can't even look down and give God thanks. Yet God is much for people. Yet the Bible says, everything give him thanks. Yet God is waiting for thanksgiving. Exactly. Next man, Uziel. Hazaiah, Uziel, my strength is God. Hazaiah, fear of Jehovah. But a man whose strength is God and who have the fear of God, a reverent man. You ever see some people, they're full of revelation, but they ain't reverent. They talk with anybody, they talking. They say, no, hey, I talk with respect, man. So you gotta talk that soft. You gotta know the place where you can get rowdy, if you don't call it rowdy, but you have to know the place where they are put away that and lock that far away, and where you get soft. Sensitive. But the volunteers came from everywhere. People had enthusiasm. They was unselfish. They committed themselves to the work. It cost them. They sacrificed. But yet they could be united together. Let's just stand to our feet. As we get ready to go into prayer, we have a request. Our precious brother Mervyn Arthur, he was by me today. You know, he has this back problem, severe back problem with his spine bent, and he's been taking treatment from a chiropractor, and he couldn't be out tonight. He still wanted to be out tonight, but he was told that, you know, he should try not to sit down. Try to, for this time being, to be on his back. And so he asked to be remembered tonight that the saints would be informed also. I want tonight, as we would go to prayer, especially, not just Lord remember but after, but especially to know as I sit on a stone, and sometimes what it takes to get that stone healed in place, where it can hold its position, cementing. Sometimes the power of sickness moves a person out of the position where they can't function, they can't operate, they can't give the best, but then the power of healing can move them right back. Is that right? Then for some of you who do not know, we have resumed work on the administration building. Now working with a deadline to finish it, to go nonstop until it's completed. Work was done for 9 months. And like I was sharing with the brothers, I said, God even gave this inspiration, even when the natural surroundings was in our midst. And moving under the inspiration to begin again. I want to pass it on to you as the assembly to say, be interested. Don't wait for announcements. You come up here, you see what's happening. Draw a little closer and see what's happening. Show your participation. Let it encourage others. Show your willingness to become involved. Let it provoke others to love and good works. Let it give support and let it strengthen. And let it help unify the body. When that building has been built, so the work will be better administrated. The work we have in the Caribbean, the work we have here, the brothers who we have for 9 years since we built a church, living in that box in the hill there, it's a shame and a disgrace. It pains me day and night to see the custodians. The brothers had to fly along here. The wee hours of the other morning, as I was saying Wednesday night, pumping that water out when all Shagwanas was underwater to make sure not in come to church. Let's do our best. Let's get involved. Let's finish the building by the grace of God. Let's see the work be done. Let's take pride in what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It stands a testimony. Let there just be a good congregation sitting in the benches. Let's rise and manifest our full potential. Maybe in the midst of these things, who knows what God will do? How many families will be delivered? Who will be having children they're praying for to see them come true? Different ones. God work in strange ways. We all have our place. God ordained the path we travel. Allow circumstances. We all have our individual needs. Sometimes we have to put ourselves last. Do something to attract God. Do something for God to honor. Do something to reflect Jesus Christ. Do something sacrificial. So let's rally together by the grace of God, just like these people. And they all, in coming together, fulfill the word. I know we are great people. And what has made us great is because God has called us. God has chosen us. That is what makes us great. We are great because God has bestowed his greatness upon us by letting us be named with his name. Give us a new identity, a new nature, a new birth. That's what makes us great. If we were under the old birth, we'd be just like lumped together with this island and everything else in it. But God has separated us. We, the church, be called out. God has called us out. And in that separation, he's preparing us for something. We see it in the word, measure by measure, getting us into place, a city of truth. And when we had that message, people come from the end, Father say, tell me about your God. Your God is God. There's no city like Jerusalem. You are part of it tonight. I am part of it tonight. Not by our choosing, but we see God's grace make us part of it. Let's pray God would deliver our brother completely. Let's take in our heart the work the brothers left this evening to go to the Bago. We have the work in Grenada. We cannot afford to let these things become distant in our minds. This is our responsibility as a body of believers. How we desire to see the interest grow. We can make announcements, we can impart things to you, but it's in your heart, understanding who you are and what God is doing among you is what will help you want to know a little better about what happens there, to become more interested. And when you become more interested, you can pray with a deeper feeling and a deeper concern. You will not be praying from your mind, you'll be praying from your heart, because you'll be relating to it as in the Word of God. You don't have to see faces alone. You think of the purpose and the reason that God has sent His Word. You see what the Word did in your life when it crossed your path. That puts you in the same channel and same position where you can pray, do the same for the elect over there also. May there be a greater love among us, a greater unity. We don't want to have a good doctrine. We don't want to have good order in the church. We don't want to have good music. We don't want to have good singing alone. We want to love one another. We want to care for one another. We want to be interested in one another. We want to feel for one another. We want to know that we are honored to be part of each other and be part of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see things like that in the Bible, something that God has been dealing with us for months, talking to us about, showing us the finer places, and you see the kind of unity, you know you have a roof with somebody, that's a breach in the wall. The enemy going to come in right there. The church going to be hindered and obstructed right there. The sick is going to be hindered from being healed right there. When you have a bad attitude, when you are rebellious, those things is going to influence somebody else. It's going to become a stumbling block to somebody else. It's going to discourage somebody else. We cannot afford to be selfish. We are members of a body. Just like when one member in the home goes out of line, affects the whole family. So in the church, one member out of line will affect the church family. Same way. And when we see that, how the family should rally together and pray and care for that member and use every influence and persuasion to win back that member, so by the grace of God, we should have that among us. What we lack, if we know what we lack, and God can supply it, we don't have to live without it. We can seek God and get it from God. And God put us in a position where we have to ask Him for certain things. Sometimes our own pride is hard to ask for it because we don't want to be seen as we don't have it. Remember what we lack, He can supply. Remember what will be achieved will only be achieved by His Spirit working in us. It's not by might or by power, but by His Spirit. You with your energy and your effort will do nothing. You can't do nothing for God without God's Spirit. The only thing God accepts is what is done by His Spirit. That's why God asks for our availability. What a place for us to pray tonight. Praying with a self-examination. Praying knowing that, you mean my attitude, I could be hindering the church. You know, sometimes it is our insensitiveness, the level and degree of insensitiveness that exists in us that make us think, nah, it can't be me. I can't accept that. But the more of the Holy Ghost you get, the bigger it is come. The less of the Holy Ghost you get, you always see somebody else's problem, not yours. But the more the Spirit come in your life, you will see, even though that person's one, I know this, so I respond, God want me to go and talk to them and help win them back, and I ain't going. Convince, concern. How concerned you are, so convinced you are. You say, real convinced the message right. You think you are. When you get real concerned, you know you're getting more convinced. When you don't see no concern, you're not really convinced. you estimating it by your own carnal estimation. But when you see your concern, God's Spirit moving you, you know that God have already convinced you. He's convinced you. You know why? You get sensitive to things around you. You feel for a person. You feel. You don't even have to know them. You feel for them. You know why? Because they are part of you. They are part of God's church. And you know, no man can come except God draw them. And if God saw it fit to draw them, who is you to despise who God draw? And if you don't want to get close to who God draw, then did God draw you? God can't work against himself. Amen? And that's why more love in your heart makes you more sensitive. I want more. I want more tonight. I want more of his Holy Spirit. Because I want to live the word. I want to encourage you to let us seek more. Let's just sing the song, more of you, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. And let's enter in tonight. Take these things in our heart. The work in the building. I'm not asking you to pray for the building to finish. I'm asking you to pray that you shall get the feeling. You shall get involved. You shall get more participated. That's what I'm asking you to pray for. I'm not asking you to sit down and pray. Lord, we hope you finish building the administration building. I'm not asking you to pray that at all. Don't pray at all tonight. Say, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to become more involved. Help me to be so involved that I know what is happening. I don't just get informed by way of an announcement. I'm identified. I'm involved. I'm part with God. And then let me see what I can do, Lord. And then help me to sacrifice some time. Help me to rearrange my situation. Show me the part where I can play. And let me be loyal and be effective in doing that part. Lord, let me feel for my brothers and sisters. Let me get into the air tonight. Lord, is sick among us. I don't want to just hear the sick. Look at Brother Mary Shu, his mother passed away, I think yesterday. Wednesday morning. Remember the elderly ladies that come in the wheelchair, no legs. Our precious Brother Mary Shu, his mom. She so wanted to be baptized. I was almost in a debate with some of the brothers. When they told me baptized, I said, no, she's baptized already, she's baptized. They said, no, you're mistaken for Sister Paula's mother. Come to find out. When the brother began to speak to me, he said, I told his brother. I didn't even know his word. I don't know if sometimes we think, well, we are a judge of who should get baptized, or who we think ready, or who not so ready, or how much ready they're ready, and then forget them. And she died of a massive stroke. Not baptized. Designed to be baptized for so long. When you see, you realize, Lord, you know, we can't deal with the things of God like our own things. We can't deal with people if they're not popular, if they're not attractive, if they're not close to you. You have to, God, this is the house of God. God sent the sheep here. They pass through here. When they come here, God sent them here to be assisted. Sometimes it makes you wonder how it is so easy to brush things aside that need attention, that need to be sensitive. The things that God is not like a shopkeeper, just, you know, you do this. You come, you walk, you look, you observe, you sensitive, you feel. You want to have a leading. Everything, don't be reasoning in your mind. You want to have the leading of the Spirit. You want to have the moving of the Spirit. That is human thinking. Sometimes we're so blocked up, you know, we can't even feel the nudge of the Spirit sometimes.
And the prophet Samuel, the possum was waiting right there. So long, God says, man, you preaching, you talking, look at the possum, send the possum there. What's the matter with you?
May God help us to be better representatives, to carry out this work in a more responsible way. May He help us tonight. Let it be a real confession of humility. It's not how long we pray, how sincere we pray, how much faith we've not prayed, how right we pray according to God's word. More of You. Supernatural God is going to take you getting faith to move in the supernatural. Not the humanistic realm, not routine and ritual. A hungry heart, burning with intense desire for God. A life willing to be placed in the altar of sacrifice. Of things of high. Yet a heart is empty. How did you come tonight? Let the Holy Ghost come. God wants to give it, friends. Believe that in your heart. As we lift our hands and sing it again, know that God wants to give this Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Open up your heart. Yield and submit to Him. Submission to our head. True faith produces true submission. Sarah, how she yielded and humbled herself to Abraham. Desire, a painful desire, a Has your heart panted after the waterproof? Do your soul pant after him tonight? He draws near to those who draw near to him. He wants to fortify that life tonight. Let's sing longing for you. Sing it. Make it personal. Tell the Lord you're longing for him tonight. Lord, oh Jesus, longing for Jesus, I have a longing in my heart for you. Just to be near you, Lord. Just to feel your presence tonight. Your presence, to feel your presence. Don't you want to feel his presence? Tell him, come by here, Lord. I'm in need of you tonight. It'll do me so much good. Come by here, Lord. I'm longing for you. Holding your tender embrace tonight, Jesus. Once more. Oh Lord, proud to the Holy Spirit tonight. Release. Release on the inside. Draw near to him. Tell him you have that longing. You want more of him tonight. He can give you more. Kino's gonna empty himself into you. Paul gives about Paul my spirit in the last days upon my sons and my daughters. Just to be, Joel spoke of it. My young men shall see visions. My young men will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. I have. Going to prayer, as you begin to build in prayer with the tools of the Word and the Spirit, as you begin to build and fortify this city in prayer, unified together, praying next to each other, opposite to each other, praying and building. May the Holy Spirit just move and move, join hearts, and join lives. And send down his spirit among us in such a way, move all through our beings tonight. The requests that we have, hold them before him. Our precious brother Arthur, the work that is with him in the building, the churches of the Caribbean, what God is doing over our midst here. Thank you, Jesus. Be to God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. Glory be to God, the Spirit of unfailing promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, how we thank God tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Zechariah is here. Amen. The Spirit of comfort. Jehovah remembers. Hallelujah, Jehovah remembers. Glory be to God in the highest, in Berechiah. Glory, Jehovah remembers his promise. Jehovah promises the son of Edo in the appointed time. Jehovah remembers his promise in the appointed time. Amen. Hallelujah. The spirit of Haggai is here. Let God give joy and festivity. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
the commandments of God in the grievous. Ezra, the spirit of Ezra is here, a helper in the time of restoration, to help one another, one who can pray, one who knows the evening sacrifice is offered, and who can offer his prayer at the time of the evening sacrifice, who can see every power of false union be broken. Oh my, thank you, Jesus. The spirit of Nehemiah is here. Jehovah comforts him in. One can comfort a brother or a sister. One can give him encouragement. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh God, may we walk by these anointings. May we walk by the Spirit. May we see the channel of inspiration. Let the Holy Spirit have open up. Amen. May we build with perseverance, regardless of awkward a situation, regardless of what kind of resistance we encounter. Glory be to God. Oh my, thank you, Jesus. No Sanballat, no Tobiah, no Geshem, amen. Nothing could hinder us in this hour. God will fight for us, Nehemiah said. But we have tools to build, we have weapons to fight. We are watching, we are praying, hallelujah. That Jerusalem is rising by the grace of God. The bride is becoming stronger. I will restore, said the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just worship, just praise, and glorify him. Every mountain shall be removed. 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 Hallelujah. God will fight for us. Watch and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the priest, everyone a priest, a royal priesthood. Oh, may be glory with salvation. Glory be to God. Oh, worshiping God. Exalted him. God has chosen Jerusalem as a place where he will dwell. He has put his name there. He'll be a wall of fire round about him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord. You have given visions. You have given revelations of encouragement, oh God. When the work stopped, oh God. Lord, you are so determined. You came and you begin to stop the spirit of Zerubbabel. You stop the spirit of the people. You strengthen their hands for the good work. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everyone is a cup bearer tonight. Everyone is drinking from the king cup. Everyone is tasting the royal wine tonight. Everyone feels the burden for the sin tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not by mine.
Could you request in prayer for your sister Suzanne, who took an overdose of sleeping pills? She's warding the Paul Spain General Hospital. Frustration, depression, sitting out of bombard, a weak mind, a mind that is not fortified, gates broken down, no walls, under all the rubbish, but God's hand is not short tonight.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Let's believe for this soul. Let's have compassion.
Hallelujah.
Let's open our heart and let be touched and stand in the gap.
Thank you, Jesus.
As a church, as our brother prayer can unite together.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name tonight, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, how we give you thanks and praise tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we can come to you because your word says a present help in a time of trouble.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we know that you're here, your ears are open unto our prayers tonight. We come in as the church of the living God, the seed of Abraham, Father. Part of your wife, the Lamb's wife tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That holy Jerusalem, Father. Lord, I say two or three will come together and agree upon any one thing as touching it, Father.
Yes.
We shall have whatever we ask for, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we come with this assurance in our hearts tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
With that confidence, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hearing this request is being made known in the house of God tonight. Lord, Susan Kudrow, Father. Lord, a woman have come here in these gates and hear your word, Lord.
Jesus.
And I desire to serve your Father. But Lord, we see the enemy, oh God, have bombarded her mind, Lord,
yes,
with thoughts of the enemy, bringing a frustration, Lord, bringing a perplexed and confusion in her mind.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, oh God, trying to destroy her life.
Jesus.
Lord, here she is tonight in the hospital. Lord, being afflicted, oh God, Father. How the enemy have carried to do something wrong tonight. But Lord, we stand the church of the living God tonight. We stand the gap tonight, Father. Lord, we come, oh God, like Esther tonight. Lord, we stand like Moses tonight, Father. We stand between the living and the dead tonight, oh God. Knowing, oh God, that blood has been offered tonight, Father. Knowing, oh God, a true atonement, Father, has been offered up in this last days tonight. We come in faith, knowing, oh God, Lord, our prayer shall be answered tonight, Father. And we come against the works of the enemy tonight on behalf of our sister, Father. Lord, we rebuke the devil, oh God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we come as a church of the living God with one mind and with one accord, Father, in agreement tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we claim total deliverance,
yes,
Father, on behalf of our sister, Father. May she be so set free tonight, Father. Not only her mind, not only her body, oh God, but also her soul. May be so quick, oh God, to walk in your word, Father. Lord, we give you thanks tonight. We give you praise tonight. Lord, we thank you for doing it, Father, because we believe your word, Father. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, in the wonderful and precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the precious name tonight, Father.
Amen. Hallelujah. We love the Lord tonight. What a time we are living in. Amen. Brother, what a thing God has opened up to us.